Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
On a spring day 9 years ago, then Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt stood in Utah's Provo River searching for a rare Columbia spotted frog.
We are still looking for our first frog, and I intend to keep coming back to Utah until I've found one.
Well, Babbitt didn't find one that day, and we don't know whether he ever actually made it back to the river. But the frog did, thanks in part to a deal Babbitt brokered with a bunch of federal and local agencies. It took nearly a decade to restore the spotted frog's habitat along the Provo River. It's one small success story at a time when other species of frogs around the world are disappearing. Beth Hoffman has our report.
Sometimes you don't know what you've been missing until an old-timer points it out to you.
When we were kids, probably 10, 12 years old, we'd walk through the meadows and catch some of these larger frogs.
Edwin Homer is a stocky, yet fragile-looking man with neatly combed gray hair. He's recounting stories of his days as a boy catching frogs in the sloughs outside of Colville, Utah, his home for the last 78 years.
And we'd take them down by the river and build a fire, and we'd skin the hind legs, and we'd have a frog fry. Yeah, they was quite tasty. We had a taste of their own, and if you got a biggest one, it would kind of had a taste.
What do you think he's going to say?
Resemble a little bit of a chicken.
Within Edwin Homer's lifetime, the marshy areas he remembers playing in as a kid changed. Rivers were dammed and channelized, and the wetlands the frogs once used for breeding became dry land for grazing cows. But now, along this western river, that may be changing. The Provo runs about 20 miles outside of Park City, Utah, with a backdrop of towering snow-capped mountains and busy highways, sage-covered hills, and new housing developments. Wildlife biologist Paula Trainer traverses the area, looking for frog egg masses, gelatinous globs about the size of a large mango, holding about 400 eggs in each.
You get attached to them. Having done it for so long, you know, they get to be like your friends. I mean, I've planned my two children to be born around the frog seasons. You know, it's just part of your life.
Trainer considers herself lucky, a biologist documenting a successful comeback story. Every year since the restoration project began, Trainer spots more and more of the translucent eggs floating in the shallow ponds near the river.
And then you can see the older ones, those turned orangish. They absorb that red algae in the water. And then the fresher ones right next to it are clear with the little black embryos.
This river's turnaround is dramatic. Tyler Allred is the hydrologist that helped design the Provo Restoration Project. He and partner Chad Gourley began the reconstruction in 1999 with a river that was as straight and channelized as a water ride in an amusement park.
In the 50s and 60s, the Bureau of Reclamation had straightened it, just sort of taken out all the curves. And they lined it with large rock so that it couldn't move around, and they built the banks up high on both sides. They put dikes there so it would never flood, never move.
And that's the way the river might have remained, except that people began to notice that the Columbia spotted frog, once plentiful, had all but disappeared. And so the debate between those that wanted the frog listed on the endangered species list and those that did not began. But Secretary of the Interior Bruce Babbitt came up with a compromise. The frog would remain off the endangered list, and development would continue in Utah if, and only if, federal, state, tribal, and local agencies committed to restoring the Provo River.
Basically, an attempt to say that we can have it both ways. We can develop, and we can protect God's creation.
Babbitt and other leaders met on the Provo River in 1998 to sign the deal that became one of the Interior Secretary's hallmark compromises. And today, his plan seems to be working. Paula Trainer is out again in her safari hat and old fleece sweatshirt, checking for eggs with hydrologist Tyler Allred.
Are the frogs over here?
They are.
Are they?
Have you seen that?
No.
Man, oh man. You got to see it. Okay. I can't even describe it.
That getting that good back there.
Well,
huh?
Well, those little ponds have kind of merged into Sweet. One big happy frog yeah, heaven.
The section trainer is so excited about is one Allred and his team leveled 7 years ago so that the area could safely flood. Then it looked like a moonscape. But today, the river can now do what it naturally does best, change.
River ecosystems rely on disturbance. And without that, the system sort of stagnates. And the cottonwoods that have established grow, they get older, and they die. And there aren't any new ones. And that process was actually the primary goal we were looking for. We wanted the river to be active. We wanted it to move around and allow those natural processes to take over.
Now a huge beaver lodge towers over the cattails of the side channel, a mass of chewed-off young cottonwoods only a half mile from the highway. Beaver dams also plug up the side channels, which, in turn, creates ideal habitat for the frogs, swampy and shallow and protected from predator fish.
Yeah, sometimes I'll hear a woodpecker in the distance and it'll sound just like the frog, their mating call. It's like a
amphibians as a whole are taking a beating around the country. Statewide, the numbers have been tanking. They're kind of like the canary in the coal mine. They are the species that seems to react early when there are problems, and you can also tell when they're doing well that probably a lot of things in the ecosystem are doing well.
And they're so cute.
9 years of cooperation and $45 million seem to have paid off. Not only are the frogs back, but the trout are doing well too. So are property values. But not listing the Columbia spotted frog has also had repercussions. Nearby, frog habitat is now home to luxury condos and golf courses. But Trainer is hopeful that simply living with frogs in our midst will help change the way we understand the world around us.
You know, I think if this project hadn't come online, if it would have been going the way it was before, another generation, they wouldn't even know that they ever even existed. I mean, a world without frogs, it's it's a sad world. And if you don't know it, then you don't even know what you're missing, you know?
For Living on Earth, I'm Beth Hoffman in Heber, Utah.